Thanks, Nathan. Good morning, everybody. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us and hope you are looking forward to a great holiday weekend. Today is the first day of the new fiscal year for the city of Baltimore. The city charter requires that the city council approve a budget no later than yesterday. Well, they met that deadline with about 10 days to spare this time around. But as of a couple of weeks ago, the specter of a city government shutdown was real. The council and Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake were deadlocked for weeks over funding for youth programs. City Council President Jack Young and Budget Committee Chairwoman Helen Holton threatened to shut down unless $4.2 million was restored to the budget for those programs. The mayor eventually agreed to put that money back in the budget, but only after making cuts to things like the Pratt Library, bridge repairs, and anti-litter programs. We begin this morning with Helen Holton, who represents the 8th District, and Brandon Scott, the city councilman from the 2nd District, who also serves on the Budget and Appropriations Committee. Good morning to you both, and happy 4th.
Good morning, Tom. Same to you.
So, Ms. Holton, you were chuckling when I said that you and President Young threatened a shutdown of the city. Do you think that's an inaccurate characterization?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought it up, because this is an opportunity to clarify what the charter says.
That's why you're here.
The charter says that the city council must enact a budget within 5 days of the end of the fiscal year. So June 25th was our deadline day. Had we not done anything, then the budget presented to us, the ordinance of estimates, would have become the budget for the fiscal year. What the sticking point was, and our request was for $5 million, not 4.2. 4.2 is the number that stuck in everybody's mind from last year.
Because that's what was spent last year. Right?
Well, that's what was invested last year that was not a part of the budget, but came along through transfers, internal transfers. And so the budget that we passed is the same budget that was presented to us. What we did was we negotiated some transfers to get the $4.2 million to spare some very worthy projects, programs that provide after school, before school, out of school time, structured, safe environments for more than 3,000 children in our city.
Folks who've been paying attention to City Hall for a long time say that this particular go-round with the budget was one of the most acrimonious, if not the most acrimonious, contentious negotiation and discussion that anybody can remember. There seems to be a great deal of distrust between the council and the mayor. Would you characterize it in that way?
I don't know if I would use the word distrust, but I would certainly use the word of lack of compromise and cooperation to work together towards a common good. Honest minds can agree to differ, but I think at the end of the day, and one of the things I said, is that youth investment is public safety. We spend in excess of $483 million that goes to the police department. What we were looking for, and I'm not going to count the school system's budget because our school system is woefully underfunded, but
and has its own separate
and
budget.
And has its own separate budget. So $483 million versus $5 million out of a $1.7 plus billion general fund operating budget. Crumbs on the table.
Brandon Scott, why is it that folks think, whether rightfully or wrongfully, that Council President Young and Ms. Holton and some others were saying, okay, if the mayor doesn't come around and restore this money, be it 4.2 or 5 million, we're going to shut the government down. That was the phrase, that was the term of art people were using.
Quite simply, Tom, that's a creation of your friends of the media. We often know that whatever is put out in the media is what becomes reality, even if it isn't reality. And I know that immediately when it started to happen, the council president made a point to remind all the council members and anybody that would listen that that's just not possible. And it's unfortunate that it got put out there that way, because it makes it look like, you know, we're having this DC Congress type argument and we're going to hurt people's jobs and services by not showing up to work and not allowing people to work, which was not true. Like the councilwoman said, we just wanted the money for the after school and the other programs. That was all.
So had an impasse not been gotten through with this $4.2 or $5 million, the government would not have shut down.
No, sir.
The government, the budget from last year, or the budget that had been submitted, would have become the law of the land.
No, not so. We had identified $5.1 million in cuts that we were going to make to the mayor's budget if we were not able to reach some sort of compromise. But the point was, even in identifying those areas to propose as cuts to the budget, we saw them as opportunities to fund the $4.25 million we were looking for on behalf of our children.
There are still some programs that Council President Young, for example, mentioned, Experience Corps, Cooperative Extension, the Waverly and Northwood before and after care centers that are not funded
in this
current budget.
They are now. They're not in the budget. If you read the budget
book,
you will not find them, but that is part of what we negotiated.
Through the transfers.
And so those programs were made whole through transfers negotiated with the administration.
So everything that you were looking for, you and Council President and others who agree with your position, has been achieved in the current budget that was passed?
It's not in the budget. It was a compromise, and it was not at 100% of what our request was. But it was a substantial, you know, it was a significant portion of what we requested. So there are a few programs that will probably suffer as a result of us not being able to fulfill, as you were saying, the current level of service. So that will have to be reduced because of the funding we did get.
Helen Holton represents the 8th District on the Baltimore City Council. Brandon Scott represents the 2nd District. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Brandon Scott, you have been an advocate, as has Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake, to sell 4 of the 17 city parking garages that the city currently owns to generate revenue to fund programs like this. Council President Young has not allowed a vote on that. Why not? Do you think there is a chance now, given that this particular impasse seems to have been averted, that this is something that people will at least get a chance to talk thoroughly about and consider?
Well, Tom, quite frankly, for me, it's never been about one way or another. I've been infamously known for making both the council president and the mayor mad with me by saying that they need to just agree to allow us to see which way is better to fund this rec plan, whether it be the council president's way or the mayor's way. I really don't care. I just really want us to be able to. Yesterday, my childhood rec center, CC Jackson in Park Heights, haven't even had to see it yet, was reopened and renovated. They in Clifton Park, they added a gym to an already new rec center in Rita Church. And I just want children across the city to be able to do that. I could care less how we get there. The average citizen doesn't care how we get there, whether we lease a garage or sell it. I personally think that we should consider both. I think that selling may get more money. I think that in a few years when we can get rid of a hotel, the city should get out of the hotel business and do things like that. I think that we should also make people charge people to ride on the circulator. We shouldn't operate a free bus for tourists in the city where citizens don't have the same access. There's so many things that we can do to get this plan passed. I don't care. I am not about myself. I am not about my way being the right way or the no way or the highway. I don't care about people's personal feelings when it comes to the children. I just want to see it done.
Yeah, and the mayor is on record, Helen Holton, of being very much against making the circulator a fared, you know, a charged bus. The whole idea of it is to make it free and have that access to.
Well, it's not free. Yeah. You can't operate a free bus. It doesn't. It costs somebody.
Right. It costs something. Yeah.
And the notion about not charging riders a fee has to do with state grant money. But the reality is the Parking Enterprise Fund, which is an enterprise fund that dumps millions of dollars into the city's coffers every year from other parking revenue we get, could easily be set aside for the very purpose of the circulator versus other operating expenses that the city chooses to use that money for. So to say that we must have a parking tax in order to fund the circulator, as Brandon talked about with recreation, is the same scenario. That's not the only way to get it done. In 2013, we increased the parking tax. We entered into an agreement as legislators saying we would not entertain an increase to the parking tax before 2020. According to my watch, it's only 2016.
And that got thoroughly entertained this time around, didn't it?
I think there
will be an increase in the parking tax under the current budget.
No. That's a separate piece of legislation.
Okay.
And I think that we also, historically, the Department of Transportation has said that you can't charge for the circulator because you just can't do it. Well, actually, our neighbors to the south in D.C. who fund their circulator almost the exact same way they have been charging for years for the circular, and no one stopped riding it. No one says, oh, this is so awful. This is what they do.
When we come to, when we talk about things being fully funded or not fully funded, one of the places that got a big cut is the Pratt Library. I mean, that it appears that the initial budget, see, now you're so exasperated with me because I'm telling you what folks are thinking. Mm-hmm. And you know as well as I do that that's what's happening. But, you know, $100,000 less for the Pratt Library, talk about youth programs. These are programs that directly affect
it's you. What the $100,000
in the Pratt Library budget, what we were told that is written in the budget was that it was for materials and supplies. Had it said something differently, we would have never targeted and said that, wait, the Pratt Library has a surplus of over $1 million. So $100,000 for 1 year is not going to shut down the Pratt Library.
It's not going to impact hours of services.
That's right.
And we also have to remember that in the future years, the state has dedicated more money to
keeping
our Pratt Libraries
open
longer.
12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right. Well, this is a big topic, and we're going to have you back at some point and some other folks to talk about the budget. The budget is so confusing. Our producer, Bridget Armstrong, and I spent a lot of time yesterday trying to divine what this whole thing means, and we couldn't do it. So I'm the first to admit that I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to the city budget, but it is such an important central tenet of how we govern our city. So I appreciate you all coming in this morning. Have a wonderful holiday. Thanks
you
so
also.
Much.
Thank you.
Helen Holton has represented the 8th District on the Baltimore City Council for more than 20 years. She serves as the chair of the Budget and Appropriations Committee, and she'll retire at the end of her term in December. Brandon Scott represents the 2nd District and also serves on the Budget and Appropriations Committee. We've got a link to more information about the city budget on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Coming up after a break for the news, the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem. Here's Nathan.